so this, I don't think this is what the Ramban actually looked like, but if you Google image of the Ramban, the image you see on the top of the page is what they say the Ramban looks like. I think from the cover of the Ramban biography, I think this is what they assume the Ramban looks like. Mustama, he looked like a Jew with a beard, so it's probably not that off. This is our first Hakdama Shir of the year. I think overall we've done several of them. I don't know how often I'm going to be able to do it, because obviously I want to give Rabbi Levin, Rabbi Salim an opportunity to say Shir on Thursdays. But I was just very excited about the Ramban's Hakdama Torah, so I wanted to at least get one in at the beginning of the Zman. Some background information about the Ramban before we get to his actual Hakdamos. The Ramban was born in Spain in 1194. He died in Israel. He had to make Aliyah, even though he loved Eretz Yisrael, and that Ahavas Eretz Yisrael comes through in all of his writings. He made Aliyah because he had to. He had to run away. Well, he didn't have to go to Israel, but he had to run away from Spain because he was called by the king to debate Pablo Cristiani, who was an apostate Jew, about the merits of Yashka, of Christianity, and the Ramban won the debate, so much so that the king said, you know, I'm impressed that someone who's arguing for the wrong side was able to present such a clear argument. And he couldn't accept that the Ramban was actually right. The Ramban later wrote up the debate in Sefer called Sefer HaVikuach, where he describes this debate. But suffice it to say, the Christian community was not particularly pleased with him after this debate. And although they spared his life, the king spared his life, because he did such a good job, he did have to run away eventually, and he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. And he had a tremendous impact in the few short years that he was in Eretz Yisrael. He had a phenomenal impact on the community there. He came to Yerushalayim, and there was nothing doing in Yerushalayim. It was hard to find a minyan even in Yerushalayim at the time that he was there. Now you go to Yerushalayim, you can find the Ramban Shul. The Ramban had a major impact on Yerushalayim, on Jewish life in Yerushalayim, tried to build up Jewish life in Yerushalayim. Good. He wrote a lot, but probably no sefer of the Ramban is more well-known, well-used, and well-respected as the Sefer on Chumash, as his Perush on Chumash. In fact, next to Rashi on Chumash, one would assume, if you ask most Talmidei Chachamim, Ramban is viewed as the next most important Sefer on Chumash. Now, I assume most of us learn Rashi on Chumash, have learned through it in our years in Yeshiva, being Shai Mikra Vecha Targum. A lot of us use Rashi instead of Targum. Ramban, however, sometimes doesn't get that same attention. I think recently they published a Chumash, like a Shul Chumash, to be used, you know, like during Kriyas HaTorah in shuls with Ramban, and they made a big deal. They have quotes from all the Gedolim about how important the Ramban is. It is a little bit strange that there were never any commentaries written on the Ramban. On Rashi, you have dozens and dozens of commentaries written on Rashi. What was bothering Rashi? Why did he say this? The Mizrahi, the Kor Aryeh. You have tons and tons of commentaries written on Rashi. Nothing, not much directly on the Ramban, at least till very, very modern times. And not only that, the Ramban himself, in the commentary in the Torah, he never writes when he was writing it. He doesn't say whether it was early in his life, later in his life, but the impression that we get is that it did come later on in life. He never refers to... Normally, the way we could tell when someone wrote something is he cross-references to other Svarim. He writes, like I wrote in my Chidushim. You know, for those of you who have heard Shirim from Rav Asher Weiss, he's always quoting himself. He's always saying, you know, look at Minchas Asher here, Minchas Asher... So you could you always know what came first, what came second. But the Ramban doesn't do that at all in his Svarim. But he does give us minor hints. If you read the introduction to the Mosada Rav Kook edition of the Rambans, they collect some minor hints in different places where the Ramban gives you a little bit of a clue that he's writing this later on in his life. Regardless, it's whether it's his final word or not his final word, the Perush Al HaTorah is a very critical work, and the Ramban in general had a tremendous impact on Jewish literature, even though there were no real super commentaries on the Ramban. The Ritva wrote an entire Sefer HaZikaron to defend the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim from the Ramban's attacks in his Pirush Al HaTorah. There are several places in Pirush Al HaTorah where the Ramban disagrees with things that the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim. Now, it happens to be the Ramban was not the most violent enemy of the Rambam's writings. There were people, great Rishonim, who were not at all fans of the Rambam, the Ramban really tried to make some sort of compromise in terms of how to deal with the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, and in terms of how to deal with the Rambam's other philosophical writings. The Ramban thought that people should be allowed to learn it, but only past a certain age. They should be allowed to learn it when there's a certain level of maturity that's set in. But he was certainly not shy when he wanted to criticize the Rambam. The Rabbeinu B'chai is also very influenced by the Ramban. If you read Rabbeinu B'chai, it's very entertaining. Rabbeinu B'chai, it's very interesting, very engaging. A lot of what he says comes straight from the Ramban. A lot of times, if you don't understand Ramban, you read through Rabbeinu B'chai, then it will be mashlim the Inyan a little bit. You'll get a much better picture of what the Ramban is actually saying. The Mizrahi that I mentioned before happens to be a commentary on Rashi, but primarily it's dedicated to defending Rashi from the Ramban's kashas on Rashi. The Ramban goes after Rashi a lot in his commentary on the Torah. So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva about the Sifrei Ramban, particularly about the Ramban al Torah. Chassam Sofer writes, "Ki Sifrei Ramban mitzuyim ela sha'oskin eina mitzuyim." You go into any base medrash in the world, you could find the Ramban. You know what you can't find? It's people learning the Ramban. But you could always find the Ramban. The Svarim are available, but people actually willing to put in the effort to learn the Ramban, not so common. V'afilo ha'tamidicham minim rotzim la'ayen bo, v'lo yetze echad b'ir ha'baki bo, u'be'emes ha'sefer zehu yisod emuna v'shoresh hadas l'fi anias daiti. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's very hard to find people who are experts in the Ramban, but you should realize the Ramban is the foundation, the writings of the Ramban are the foundation of our emuna, the roots of our religion, and certainly if even Talmidei Chachamim have neglected the Ramban, certainly the masses have neglected the Ramban to an even greater extent. It's one of the great tragedies of Judaism is that we don't pay enough attention to the Ramban, says the Chassam Sofer. In fact, I think one of the Spadim from Salvechik, they published a book of Memories of a Giant. You ever see the book? Memories of Giants. A bunch of Talmidim wrote their own memories of Rav Soloveitchik. I think Rabbi Gnack, if I'm not mistaken, wrote a whole essay about how Rav Soloveitchik, everyone knows Rav Soloveitchik as the Rambam Jew, as the one who was always being Miyashiv Rambams. You know, the famous story of when Rav Soloveitchik was a little boy and he says to, and he would listen to his father say a shir in the house. His father would have a bunch of Mitzuyanim, some special Talmidim that would come, and he would start quoting Rambams and ask Kashas Rambam here and there, all the and all the problems with the Rambam, he's against this Gemara and that Gemara, and then try to be Miyashiv it. And one time, his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, couldn't be Miyashiv the Rambam. So the Rav Soloveitchik, as a little boy, went to his mother and he was crying. And his mother said, "What's the matter, Beryl?" And he said, Tati wasn't able to be Miyashiv the Rambam. The Rambam's in trouble. He couldn't save the Rambam. That was, like most young children, that's what concerned him. That he couldn't save the Rambam. So she said, "Don't worry. When you grow up, whichever Rambam's your father can't save, you're going to be able to save." And Rav Soloveitchik's Yartzeit Shiurim, we're all centered around the Rambam. Rabbi Gnack suggests that Rav Soloveitchik, in an underrated way, was a Ramban Jew. He was someone who was very, very interested in the writings of the Ramban. The writings of the Ramban are very critical, and obviously if anyone ever learns Gemara with the major Rishonim, the Ramban next to Rashi and Tosos, the Ramban had greater impact than any other Rishon, probably. You read every Rashba, every Ritva, what do? They say over what they heard from the Rebbe, what they heard from the Ramban. Okay, sometimes a little nuance, an additional answer, a change, but essentially they're saying over the Rambans. It's all the same school of thought. The Rans, they're all saying over the Ramban. They all come from the same place. It all started with the Ramban. They all come from the Ramban. Now, the Ramban is more difficult to read. I heard Rav Chaim Soloveitchik say once that the Ramban was just not a very good writer. I don't know what that means exactly. Some of his Svarim are a little clearer. Some of them are less clear. The Mulchamos are very, very difficult to read. The Perish on the Torah is not so challenging to read, except for when he gets into the Kabbalah, and he tells you you're not supposed to read the Kabbalah anyway. So it's not so difficult to read. But for whatever reason, in the Sefer on Shas, the Ramban is much more challenging than the Rashba, who in turn is more challenging to read than the Ritva. As the generations went on, I guess they wrote a little more clearly. They were Megala a little more for us to be able to understand a little more easily. The Ramban wrote a ton. He was a very prolific writer. Now, in most Hakdamos of Rishonim, not most, I shouldn't say, but in a lot of Hakdamos of Rishonim, it was a very common thing in the times of the Rishonim, in the 12th century, 13th century, to write in poetry. So the Ramban actually has two Akdamas to his Perush on the Torah. He has a Akdama that's a poem that describes what he plans on doing. They say Rav Vadi Yosef is very good at this, at writing his thoughts in poems, just taking full phrases from Psukim and Gans Tanakh and, you know, phrases from Shad from everywhere and just making a nice poem out of it. There's a biography recently came out, first volume of a biography about Rav Vadi Yosef. Rav Vadi's grandson started writing a biography about him, one of his grandsons, and volume one came out, covers the first 40 years of his life or something. And one of the things it says about him is that he was very into this as a youngster, because he was very good at it. He would write one of these fantastic poems using all of Tanakh in like 5 minutes. He would just sit down and write. I think in certain Haskamos that he writes a certain svarim, he writes it in poem form. I think in Rabbi Daniel Feldman's, one of Rabbi Daniel Feldman's svarim, he has a Haskama from Rav Vadi Yosef. Rav Vadi Yosef actually wrote it in a poem, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was the same that I saw it in, but it says in the biography that Rav Vadi stopped doing it. He doesn't do it as much anymore because he was afraid that people would try to imitate and also write these poems, and it's going to be so much bittul Torah because people can't do it like he can in 5 minutes. They can't just pump out these poems. But it was very, very common in the times of the Rishonim that Ben Ezra wrote a lot of poetry, and the Ramban wrote a poem to describe what his goal is in writing his Perush on the Torah. So I have the poem here. We're not going to read through the whole thing, but I underlined some key sections. In the first source that you have in your packets, so the Ramban writes, at the beginning starts with the standard lines of humility that you find in a lot of Hakdamos, because as we've seen many Hakdamos, the first thing the author always feels a need to explain is why he feels worthy to publish his Sefer, that the world needs his Sefer, that other people need his Sefer. So it usually starts with some words of humility, and the Ramban is no different in that sense. He writes, Chachmasi Ketana Vidaati Kitsara Keneged Sisrei Torah. I have limited knowledge, limited das, especially when you take into account the vastness of Torah, Hatzfunim Bebesa, Tumunim Bechedra, all that's hidden in Torah. It's so vast and so amazing, and I don't have the ability to really plumb the depths of Torah. But if you look right before the next underlined section, Aval Ma'ese V'Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. But what do you want me to do? I have to learn, and my soul desires Torah. It yearns for Torah. V'hi belibi ke'esh ocheles bo'era. And it is in my heart like a burning flame. I can't quiet the flame of Avas HaTorah that I have in my heart. V'kul yosei atzura. It's in my kidneys. Lotzeis b'ikveh rishonim ha'arayos shebechabura. To follow on the heels of the Rishonim. Now the Ramban was a Rishon. When he refers to Rishonim, he's referring to earlier Rishonim and Gaonim. To follow the arayos shebechabura, the lions of the group. The Gaonei adoros bali gavura. The ikanes imam ba'ove akura. Notice the poetry, it rhymes, it works. So he says to get involved in the discussion. I just need to get involved in the fray. I'm so excited by the learning and by the Torah and by all the back and forth. Lichtavem pshatim b'ksuvim midrashim b'mitzvos v'agada. I want to write pshatim in the psukim and the midrashim and in the various mitzvos and the agada. Arucha b'kol u'shmura v'asim l'ma'or panai neiros ha'menorah ha'tahora pirish rabbeinu shlomo ateres tzvi v'tzvira. And he says, one thing that I have in front of me, like a light, a guiding light, a menorah hatahora, a pure light, is Pirush Rabbeinu Shlomo, which of course is Rashi. Rashi is the guiding light of any commentary on Torah. He is the Ateres Tzvi, Tzviras Tefara, Muchtar B'nimusei B'mikra B'mishnu B'gemara. Rashi is the one who is crowned with the crowns of the three-pronged crown of Mikra, Mishnu, B'gemara. Lo Mishpat HaBechora. Rashi is the firstborn of all commentaries on Torah. Now, there were commentaries on Torah before Rashi, but he was not saying physically the firstborn. He's saying Rashi is the first word in any commentary on the Torah. If you do Shnayim Mikra Ve'ech Targum with Rashi, there's a reason you do it with Rashi, because Rashi is the number one commentary on the Torah that every Jew has to know. B'dvar of Ege, and I'm going to work hard with Rashi. And then he says, but you should know, Ba'ahavasam asage. I'm going to be masig on Rashi. Ba'ahava. I will have critiques of Rashi. I will have comments to make on Rashi. I will have questions on Rashi. I will reject certain Rashis. But that will be with pure ahava. Now, contrast that terminology with what he then says about the Ibn Ezra. Right, he says, "V'imam yu lana maslu matan drishah v'chakira." I'm going to analyze Rashi. I'm going to make Rashi stand up to the test. I mean, what's drishah v'chakira? It's what we do with Edim and Beis Din, where we question them and we see whether they're telling the truth. I'm going to take every last Rashi apart and I'm going to make sure that everything he says stands up to the test of questioning. Asher b'perush of zuchura, the Imra Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra. Without Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, I'm going to have what you see, the way I deal with the Ibn Ezra, is going to be tochacha. I'm going to be bashing him. I'm going to be giving him musar. I'm going to be yelling. I'm going to be screaming. That's what you're going to see. But you should know, va'ava misutara, that there's a hidden love in all of that. It's very hidden in certain places. Like Ramban is very adamant in his critiques of the Ibn Ezra. V'hakel asher mimenu levado ira yatzilenu miyom evri chashken. And only God, God is the only one that I fear, should save me from making any mistakes in writing this commentary. It just struck me that with Rashi, he went in a whole chagadya first about how Rashi lo mishpata b'chora, mikra mishnah gemara, he's got it all. Rashi's, and with the Ibn Ezra, I really do love him deep down. You know, I don't dislike him, but everyone always quotes how the Ramban says about the Ibn Ezra that he loves him, but when you contrast it with the way he treats Rashi, you see that his attitude toward the Ibn Ezra was not quite the same attitude that he had toward Rashi. He certainly doesn't accuse him of being muhtar b'mikra b'mishnu b'gemara. He doesn't he doesn't make those statements. I'm just reading pasha pshat. But obviously, the greatest compliment one could ever pay anybody, and I don't think this to denigrate the Ibn Ezra. I think this is to tell you what Rashi is in the Ramban's view. In fact, I think we have the right to assume, and I saw this in the introduction, the Masada Rav Kook commentary in the Ramban, that wherever the Ramban doesn't disagree with Rashi, shtika koda, he does agree with him. Meaning Rashi is so the foundation of everything, lo mishpat abuchara, that if he doesn't say anything against Rashi, then it must be that he accepts it, because Rashi is he's the baseline. Now, Ben Ezra, it's a great compliment for a Rishon of the stature of the Ramban to feel the need to single out anybody to discuss what he said and analyze what he said. The fact that the Ramban discusses the Ibn Ezra and that he goes through so many of his comments is itself a great compliment. It means that he believes the Ibn Ezra is part of the discussion, that he's an important part of the discussion of commentaries to the Torah. Note, in this little poem, the Ramban does not mention the Rambam, even though he takes issue with him a lot also, and especially the Rambam's in the Mor Nevuchim. He doesn't even mention it. But the two that he does mention is Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. Okay, so let's get started on the introduction itself. The introduction itself is toward the bottom of the page, on page 3 of your packets. I'm not going to be able to read the whole thing inside, so I'll just pick sections to read inside. The Ramban first goes through the first part of the introductions to describe how Sefer Bereishis was written. This is technically the Hakdama, what everyone calls the Hakdama to the Ramban al Torah, is technically Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis. It's Ramban's Hakdama to his commentary in Sefer Bereishis. So he tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu Kosova Sefer Azeh Ima Torah Kula Mipiv Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this together with the rest of Torah, and he received it all straight from God's mouth. Vakorov Shekosov Zeh Bahar Sinai. Vakarov. Vakarov means, it seems to me, that he wrote this at Har Sinai. Kisham Nemrlo Ale Elayahara, Vayisham Vetnal Chas Luchas Evan Vatorah Vamitzvah Shekasavti Lorosam. Because that's where Moshe Rabbeinu was told, come up to the mountain and I want you to write HaTorah, HaMitzvah, Asher Kasavti Lorosam, Ki Luchas Evan Yichlal HaLuchos VaMichtav, Klomer Aseres HaDibros, that Luchas Evan refers to the Luchas themselves. The HaMitzvah is mitzvah or mitzvahs kulin asevelos asay. Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he come down from Har Sinai with? You ever wonder? What did Moshe Rabbeinu come down from Har Sinai with? He came down with Chamisha Chamishi Torah? Well, then that's like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Back to the Future, where Back to the Future 2, I think it is, where he gets the sports almanac from, Lahavdil, from 2020, which is like impossibly into the future. And you know, it says there that all the sporting events that happened, that Raul Banyas had 2 home runs or whatever, and he's able to bet. He has the book. He knows what the end of the story is going to be. So it could change the course of history. So Moshe Rabbeinu really had the whole thing about how he hit the rock and they got punished not to go into Eretz Yisrael. Wouldn't he have just like not hit the rock? rock if he already had all that. So obviously the Gemara deals with this. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah at Har Sinai. That would ruin the whole rest of the stories. He couldn't have gotten an advanced copy of all the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So what did he get at Har Sinai? So it happens to be there is a machlokas in the Gemara in Gittin, whether the Torah is Megillah Nitna or the Torah Chasuma Nitna, exactly how it worked in terms of the giving of the Torah. One thing the Ramban says is certainly Asaras Dibros he got, and certainly a list of the mitzvos, that there are 613 mitzvos. So he was handed a Sefer of mitzvos. He got a list of the Asei Velos Asei. Im Kena Torah Yichlal Asipurim Itchilas Bereshis Kihu Mora Anashim B'Derech B'Inyon HaEmuna. So what does HaTorah mean? The Pasuk says Ve'na Lucha Es Luchos HaEven VeHaTorah VeHaMitzvah. So we know what Luchos HaEven is, that's a Luchos. We know what VeHaMitzvah is, that's Tarjag Mitzvahs. What's VeHaTorah? He didn't get the Torah. So says Ramban, no, VeHaTorah must mean up until that point, that all of the psukim that we have in the Torah that were described up until that point, that's what he got at Har Sinai. And that's critical, because why is it so critical? Why is Sefer Bereishis so important? There are so few mitzvahs. If you have a Minchas Chinuch Seder where you learn Minchas Chinuch in each week's parsha, you're pretty comfortable for the next few months. You're not gonna have to work too hard. There are very few mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis. So why is it so critical? Because it's the Iker of Emuna. It's Rashi's Kashan, the first Rashi of the Torah. Rashi asks why we start with Bereishis. We don't have any mitzvahs. So Rashi gives the answer that so the Umos Olam say that we don't deserve Eretz Yisrael. We always say, what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets to decide because he's the one that created the world. The Ramban has comments on that Rashi. He's not so certain what Rashi even means by that Kasha. Why would you start from Bereishis? Ramban says, what do you mean? Why would you start from Bereishis? Of course you start from Bereishis. It's the Yikra Emunah. It doesn't make sense to start from anywhere else. It's Ramban's first comment on the Torah. Is that, how could you not start from Bereishis? What kind of Kasha? So he tries to be Miyashi of the Kasha, and he says, no, what we mean is, of course you have to start with the Ikari Amuna, with the stories of the Avos, and how it builds up our Amuna, but we don't understand Maisa Bereishis anyway. No one could read the Chumash to actually understand creation. There are two stories in Tanakh that were specifically told, no matter who we are and what we are, we're not going to understand it without a Mesorah, and without a Rebbe teaching it to us, and without advanced knowledge and wisdom, and that is Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava. So if we're not going to understand it anyway, why would we start with Bereishis? Okay, so that's how the Ramban understands Rashi's Kasha. But anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu got this at Har Sinai, and there is a machlokas in Gittin that the Ramban refers to, like I mentioned before, whether Torah Chasuma Nitna or Megillah Nitna. But the Ramban says if Torah is Megillah Nitna, then Moshe wrote all the way through. Megillah Nitna means he wrote in piecemeal. He got a little bit at Har Sinai, wrote down whatever he got, and then as it went on, he wrote down more pieces of the Torah until finally, on the last day of his life, he was able to put it all together. Last day Pesukim is a big kasha. The Gemara deals with the Menachos and Bab Basra. How do you write the last day Pesukim in the Torah? Because they Pesukim before the end of the Torah. The Pasuk says, famous words, Vayamas Shah Moshe Evid Hashem, that Moshe died. And the problem is, if Moshe died, then how could he have written that he died? Because dead people can't write, and writing people are usually not dead. So it's so either Moshe Rabbeinu would be, either way it's kfira to say that he wrote it and he was just lying. Moshe Amis Fasarasam, Moshe's not a liar. Or to say that he didn't write it, so then the whole Torah wasn't given from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that would be, either way, it sounds like a very problematic thing. Okay, so the Gemara deals with that issue. But there is this question of, was it given, did Moshe Rabbeinu write it in pieces? Ramban says, if it was Megillah Nitna, then Moshe wrote all the way through, from Bereishis, through the Parshas of Mishkan, when he came down from Har Sinai, and then he wrote the rest at the end of his life. Meaning, if it was Chasuma Nitna, then he just wrote the whole thing at the end of his life. Then even at Har Sinai, he didn't write anything down. It was all on the last day of his life. He wrote the Shira Azos, beginning to end. The Ramban is noted toward the Tzad that it was Megillah Nitna. The Ramban says it's Hakarov. It seems more logical to me that it was Megillah Nitna and that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually writing Chumash Bereishis as we know it, at Har Sinai, that he brought down Chumash Bereishis as we know it, and parts of Shemos. Now, you do find in Sefer Yecheskel, and really many other Nevi'im, in Yirmiyahu, others, when the Nevi'im talk, when they write, it's Yecheskel writes, Vayihi Dvar Hashem Eilai Lemar, that the word of Hashem came Eilai, to me, Ben Adam. In Yecheskel it's always Ben Adam, that's it's a Yecheskel terminology. Each book has its own terminology. Navi Yecheskel, for whatever reason, is called Ben Adam. But it's Eilai. When Moshe Rabbeinu says that Hashem spoke to him, what does he say? Moshe Rabbeinu writes in the Torah, "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemar." Says, "What's going on over here? Moshe was a Navi, Yirmiyahu was a Navi. They were all Naviim. So why is it a lie by Yirmiyahu by Yecheskel, and it's a Moshe by Moshe Rabbeinu by the Torah?" So the Ramban explains that Moshe is speaking, when we say the Shechina medaberes mitoch grono, you need to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking from God's perspective, meaning it's God telling the story, it's not Moshe telling the story. And this is really fundamental to an understanding of Nevuah in general, and what distinguishes Moshe Rabbeinu from other Nevi'im. Other Nevi'im received a vision, and then they took that vision, and they formulated words, and they wrote the vision down in their own words. The words of the Nevi'im are not the words of God. The words of the Nevi'im are the words of the Navi. What they're describing is a vision given to them by God. Right? That's how Navi works. Moshe Rabbeinu was different. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, he was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the entire Torah, word for word, to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was writing, he was God's shliach to write, he was like the ghostwriter for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he wasn't writing from his own perspective, and that's why he's never going to speak from his own perspective. What about in Sefer Dvarim, Ve'eschanan al Hashem, Ve'espalal al Hashem, who's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, So he said, yeah, that's because all of Sefer Devarim was written on one day, and it was all Moshe Rabbeinu's speech. So it starts off by saying, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eila Advarim Shadibra Moshe al Kol Yisrael. This is what Moshe said to Kol Yisrael, speaking in third person, because God's describing it. And then, quotation marks, this was the speech. So the speech was, Ve'espalel Hashem, Eschanan al Hashem, right? That was the speech. So that's why it switched to second person. It's not that it's actually in second person, it's a quotation. And that's why it appears in second person. Now, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to write in third person, and obviously it has to be God's book, because a lot of what Moshe Rabbeinu writes about, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there for. The entire Sefer Bereishis, he wasn't around yet. It was before he was born. So it's obviously written directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Maisa Bereishis. Nobody was around. So it's obviously completely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. And this is, again, this is fundamental to an understanding of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, what it means, Aspaklari Ami'ira, and why it had to be. Moshe Rabbeinu had to have this clarity of vision. It had to be this way. Moshe Rabbeinu had to have word for word dictated to him. There had to be no human interpretation in what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. Because once there's a level of human interpretation in what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, there could be a mistake. Because all human beings make mistakes, even Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Even Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Everyone makes mistakes. There had to be no interpretation necessary. Everything had to come through with the ultimate clarity. Otherwise, Chamisha Chumshe Torah wouldn't hold the weight that it does hold in Judaism. The Ramban then discusses the deep wisdom that the Torah has hidden in it. And he tells us that that Moshe learned everything. Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Merkava, all 50 gates of Chachma were open to Moshe Rabbeinu. He learned through everything. He learned through the nature of the world, science, how everything works. And he tells us, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Aleph, tells us that Chamishim Sharei Bina Nivru Uba Olam, that 50 gates of understanding were created in the world, and all of them but one were given to Moshe. V'techasreyu ma'at me'elukim, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, that he was missing just a little bit from the ultimate knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was that one level, that one gate that was closed? So that one gate that was closed is the all-elusive understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Meaning, Hodieni na'astrachecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me know, I want to understand you. And we can't, nobody can, not even Moshe Rabbeinu can. So he had these 50 gates. He didn't really have 50 gates. The Yedias HaBorei is what he eluded him. When Chazal say that there were Chamishim Sharei Bina Nivru'u Ba'olam, the Ramban says, it's not really Ba'olam, because the 50th one isn't really Ba'olam. No one ever got to that 50th level of understanding. Even Moshe Rabbeinu only got 49. He says, yeah, a lot of times we'll use the term 50 when we mean 49, just like we'll use the term 40 when we mean 39. Arbaim Yakenu is really 39, so it's roughly 50, but really Ba'olam, in this world, there are only 49 Shari Bina. The Gemara in Brachos, Tav Zayin, discusses what the response was to Moshe Rabbeinu when he said, Hodieni Nas Rechecha, when he said, Ribon Shalom, I want to understand your ways. I want to understand why it is that tzaddik, yesh tzaddik v'ralo, yesh tzaddik v'tovlo, yesh rasha v'ralo, yesh rasha v'tovlo. It seems so random. Some people get, some people are tzaddikim and do very well, some people are tzaddikim and do terribly, some people are rasham and do well, some people are rasham and do terribly. It all seems so random, and that's, obviously the big kasha that we have. So there are a couple of answers in the Gemara to that particular element of tzaddik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo, but we assume generally, like the approach in that Gemara, that says that we just don't understand. And certainly a full Yediyas Habore, no one could ever imagine, no one could ever achieve. Now, Ramban says that one of the things you have to realize is that all of these Shari Bina, all of these gates of understanding, they're all in the Torah. We don't see them in the Torah. We see, just this, we just scratch the surface of what the Torah has to offer. But somewhere hidden in the Torah is all of science and all of knowledge and everything, all of halacha, everything you could possibly know, every chachma that's out there, it's all there. We just need to know how to find it. He says some are hinted in the crowns and tops of the letters. That's the famous Gemara in Maseches Menachos that Ramban quotes or refers to. Amar Vido Merav Vishal Sha'ala Moshe Lamara Matzalak Rosh Baruch Hu Shiyoshe V'Koshe K'sarim Lo'osiyos. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up high and he finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu tying crowns on tops of the letters. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Ma'akev Al Yadcha. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ribono Shel Olam, what do you need to do that for? Okay, it looks cute, it's fancy, calligraphy. What's the point? What do we need all those crowns for? Amar Lo, Adam Echad Yesha Asalios Besof Kama Doros V'Akiva Ben Yosef Shemo. There's going to be a man who lives one day, his name is going to be Akiva Ben Yosef. Sha'asa Lidrosh Al Kolkotz V'Kotz, Tile Tilen Shel Alachos. There's going to be this guy who's going to darshan from these crowns. Halachos, he's going to learn things from these crowns. Says Ramban, what do you see? That there's chachm in the crowns also. We don't know how, we don't know where. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure it out at first. Although the Ramban sees this Gemara, the Gemara goes on to say, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, let me see him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chazor La'acharecha, okay, turn around, you'll see him, go through that magic door, you'll see him. And he goes through the magic door and he sits in the back of Rabbi Akiva's classroom, Besof Shmona Shuros, because the Talmidim used to sit based on what they knew, based on how strong they were. So Moshe Rabbeinu made it to the eighth row of Rabbi Akiva's classroom, and lo yodeh, mayin omrim, and he had no idea what was going on. He had no idea, he couldn't follow the shir. He didn't know what it's hard to understand what that means. What does it mean he didn't follow the shir? I was talking to Rav Shachter over Sukkot, and he was talking about the Lakewood Yeshiva, and he was saying that he learned in Lakewood for a summer's month when he was 13 years old. It was, he was in ninth grade in Rabbi Tendler's shir in MTA. He was young for a ninth grader, but he was a 13-year-old ninth grader at the end of the ninth grade year. And Rabbi Moshe David Tendler was his rabbi, and Rabbi Yossi Tendler Zichron Levracha was a kollel guy in Lakewood at the time, Rabbi Tendler's brother. So at the time, Lakewood Yeshiva had 50 boys in the whole yeshiva. So Rabbi Yossi Tendler called up Rabbi Moshe David Tendler and said, maybe send some MTA boys to our base medrash to be mechazik us a little bit. Just like now, Lakewood calls MTA to ask for a little chizik. So Rabbi Tendler said, average guys like Rav Shachter to go be mechazik the base medrash. So he spent the whole summer in Lakewood. So he was saying, I remember I heard shir from Rav Aaron Cutler, and I had no idea what he was talking about. He said, I didn't understand a word of the shir. So, okay, Ken Zayin, he didn't understand. He was 13 years old. he didn't understand a word of the shir. But I think there's got to be some other pshat. So what does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu laughed. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand a word of the shir that Rabbi Kiva is saying. Unclear, but the point, and the Ramban doesn't even focus on that part of the Gemara. He sort of skips it when he quotes it. The Ramban only quotes the last part, where that Rabbi Kiva gets to something, and Talmidim challenge him, and they say, Rebbe, minayin lach, how do you know this din? And Rabbi Kiva says, halachal Moshe Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu was like, ah, yeah, he needs me. Halach l'Moshe Misinai. He only gets it from him. So then it was in Nisiyash V'daita, Moshe Rabbeinu was calmed down a little bit. Ramban only quotes that part. He says, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu had every level of Chachma and then some beyond Rabbi Akiva. I got the opposite message from the Gemara, that Rabbi Akiva was able to build more than Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what was going on. But at the end of the day, Ramban says, no, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was greater in his Chachma Satorah than Rabbi Akiva. And still, even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest, who even had the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, didn't reach that 50th Madrega, that 50th level of Das. In Shir HaShirim Rabba, it speaks of Chizkiyahu having a Sefer Tagim. Well, Sefer Tagim must have not just had the letters in the Tagim, but it must have had some explanation of all the Tagim, of all the crowns on top of the letters. Medrash goes on to say that the Sisrei HaMerkava and the other secrets are all in the Torah itself. This dovetails very nicely. If you remember, we did a Hakdama of the Emes Liyakov, the Mavo of the Emes Liyakov. It's his commentary on the Torah, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's commentary on the Torah. So in the Hakdam of the Emes Liyakov, he quotes several sources, several Gemaras that tell us that had it not been, Ilmale Chat Yisrael, Gemara Nedarim says, for instance, had Klal Yisrael never sinned, Lo Nina Lehem El Chamisha Chum Sheitar V'Sefer Yeshua Belvai. All we would have is Chamisha Chum Sheitar and Sefer Yeshua. Another Gemara tells us that all the Svarim are going to ultimately be bottled except for Chamisha Chum Sheitar and Megillas Esther. All of them are going to be bottled. And the Rambam understands, yeah, they're going to be bottled. We're not going to have any of those Svarim anymore. The Raiva jumps all over that. What are you talking about? They're going to be bottled. How can you say that Torah Hashem is going to be erased, that we're not going to learn it anymore? We're not going to learn Nevi'im anymore? That's what's going to be with all the messages that we learn from the Nevi'im? The Rabbi says it just means it's not going to be a Kriyas HaHaftorah anymore. There will be Kriyas HaTorah, there will be Kriyas Megillas Esther. There's not going to be a Kriya from any of the other Svarim. But what does the Rambam hold? So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it means that all of the messages in all of the other Nevi'im are in the Torah. We just have no idea how to find it. But they're there. They're all in the Torah. Everything is in the Torah. It's all included there. So had Klal Yisrael not sinned, we would have known how to find it. But because we sinned, we needed to have these, we needed it to be more explicit for us to receive the messages that the Torah is trying to send to us. And once we get back to that madrega of Ilmalei Chatu, of had we not sinned, then we're going to be able to derive it all from the Torah itself. And then the Ramban says something very controversial. He says, Od yesh b'yodenu Kabbalah shel emes. We have a Kabbalah shel emes. When he describes Emes, it's always Kabbalah that he's talking about. He says we have a Kabbalah that the words of the Torah are all the shame of Hashem. It's all one long shame Hashem, and that they can be, the words can even be moved around, can even be broken up in different ways, and they still have meaning. Like for instance, Bereshis Bara Elokim could be Berosh Yisbara Elokim. If you take the Yud and the Tav off of the word Bereshis and put it on to the next word of Bara, Berosh Yisbara, and that's also meaningful because it's all Shem Hashem. Every last letter, and that's why if the Sefer Torah is missing Os Achas, says the Ramban, Alach Lemaisa, Puzzle. Problem is, this seems to be against the Gemara Kiddushin, because Gemara Kiddushin says that we're not Pekiyin b'chaseros v'yaseros. That if you're missing a vav, a hey, a yud, here, there, so it's not gonna. It doesn't puzzle the Sefer Torah because we're not Pekiyin. Unless we want to assume that all of our Sefer Torah are puzzled. Shagas Arye Taka says, yeah, maybe all of our Sefer Torah are puzzled, and that's why people are no longer knowing to be mekayim the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah, because we can't do it anyway. Whatever we write is going to be puzzled anyhow, so it doesn't make a difference. So Minchas Chinuch says that's crazy. Can you imagine? Everything is puzzle, and what do we do about the fact that we darshan Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemasaurus in the beginning of Sanhedrin, and Sukkah, Litotafo, Sukkos, we darshan the way it's spelled, every Vavana, what do we do with all that? All of our tefillin is puzzle? How do we lose this? How do we forget this? How's that all of our mezuzahs are puzzle? So Minchas Chinuch suggests a different approach. Minchas Chinuch says, no, if you're missing a letter that changes the meaning of the word, that will puzzle the Sefer Torah. But if you're missing a letter that doesn't change the meaning of the word, it's not going to possible say. That's against that Ramban. It's against this Ramban. Ramban holds any letter, no matter how seemingly insignificant it is to us, we don't know, we don't even scratch the surface of the depths of the Torah. And therefore, it is significant, because it's a chisarin, the Shem Hashem, if you're missing any single letter. Against the how the Minchas Chinuch understands the mitzvah Taryag. And one final word over here. The Ramban says that he's going to focus on Perushim, Musar, Midrashim, and generally speaking, tells us not to focus on those elements of his commentary that are based in Kabbalah. He says, because you're going to try to read, you're not going to know what I'm talking about anyway. Unless you have a Kabbalah, something you need a Masorah from a Rebbe. If you don't have a Masorah from a Rebbe, he says, I'm writing in hints, I'm writing, and the Ramban always tips you off when he's going to start talking Kabbalah. He always says, Valderecha Emes. That's when you know that you should skip that paragraph. When he says al derech emes means Kabbalah. So whenever he talks Kabbalah, he says don't even bother. He tells you. He tells you not to read it. Don't even bother unless you're trained as a Kabbalist, unless you know this whole style of learning and you have such a Masorah for it. But we focus on the comments of the Ramban that explain the Pesukim, that explain the Midrashim, that ask on Rashi, the more what we would call, I guess, the more simple comments of the Ramban. So that's the Akdamah of the Ramban al-Tanya.